My guest at this time is John Bolton, former United States Ambassador to the United Nations. He's now with the American Enterprise Institute. There's been a lot that's happened in the last several days in volatile parts of the world, and we certainly want to get the ambassador's thoughts on what has happened and what should happen going forward. And, sir, it's always good to have you with us.
Well, thanks for having me again. Glad to be with you.
Thank you, sir. Let's start with the situation in Iraq. Last Friday, President Obama saying that all troops will be home by the holidays, essentially. This pretty much goes along with the Bush timetable, although a few weeks and months ago, we thought there'd be a residual force there to help train and do some other things. Ultimately, there couldn't be an agreement on immunity for soldiers in a status of forces agreement. Some say this made it a good decision by the president to withdraw them all. Others say that the White House didn't try very hard to get this deal done. How do you read it?
Well, I think President Obama has wanted to be in a position to withdraw all American forces from Iraq by December 31 of this year, since before he took the oath of office. He has always been against this war. It's been part of the theology that his political base has held, that the war was wrong, that our continued presence was wrong, and that the sooner we got out, the better. So he has now delivered something very important to his political base and entirely consistent with his ideology that is very comfortable with American decline. You know, I know there was a lot of speculation about these last-minute negotiations, but honestly, if the president wanted troops there, he could have picked up the phone to the Iraqi leadership and they could have worked it out. His complete inaction, as far as we can tell, demonstrates that he was perfectly comfortable with these negotiations failing. Now, I will say, in fairness, it was a mistake for the Bush administration when it signed this particular status of forces agreement in 2008 to agree to this deadline. And it allowed Obama to do exactly what he's doing, which is say, I'm just carrying out the Bush administration policy. I think despite the success of the surge toward the end of the Bush administration, it was part of the administration just losing steam at the end, whether because of the economic situation or whatever the reason might be, and is a disappointment that I think colored all the subsequent relations that Obama had with the Iraqis.
Mr. Ambassador, a couple different schools of thought, of course, at least, on what is likely to happen next in Iraq. Some say the Iraqis are in a position to stand up for themselves, provide their own security. Others say it's open season for the Iranians to come in and basically run the show. What do you think is the more likely scenario in the short term and the long term?
Well, I think Iran is certainly going to try and exploit the existing divisions, Sunni versus Shia, Kurds versus Arabs, to its own advantage. I don't think that means they come in and run the show immediately, but I think the risk of breakdown of the central government, a return to civil war, a return of al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups in the Sunni areas, a confirmation for many of the Kurds that it's better to get out of Iraq entirely, and a generally deteriorating security situation, that I think is almost inevitable. And I think when you look at the impact of our withdrawal on the psychology of the friendly Arab nations of the Arabian Peninsula, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Qatar, United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, Oman, they're all going to say that this is a sign, this withdrawal is a sign the United States is just not interested in dealing with Iran, both Iran's support for terrorism and its continuing pursuit of nuclear weapons. We haven't even, for goodness sakes, really stood up to Iran on this assassination plot they've been running against the Saudi ambassador in Washington. It's all part of a bigger picture, a perception of American weakness that is going to be very, very hard on us in the coming years.
And it doesn't sound like that in a few years you suspect that we'll see an Iraq that was perhaps worth the investment that we made.
Well, the tragedy of all this is that for the cost in American lives and resources that we undertook to overthrow Saddam Hussein, to eliminate that threat to international peace and security, to provide a stable country that would allow for the prospect of representative government, for economic development, for stability in the region as a whole, to put pressure on Iran, to put pressure on the regime in Syria, to begin to roll back the extremism on both the Sunni and the Shia sides. I just see all of that potentially being frittered away. It's a huge tragedy, and something I think that for a momentary ideological kick for the Obama administration, we're going to regret almost immediately.
We're talking with former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton. And, sir, let's move over now to Libya, which has obviously seen a lot of developments in its own right over the past several days, from the killing of Gaddafi to the new, at least, transitional council there implementing or being ready to implement what's considered to be a pretty radical form of Sharia law, which is a little bit different than what we heard from them before about elections coming within months. Now it seems it'll be longer than that. Does this surprise you in any way, and how concerned should we be by that?
Well, I think we should be very concerned. You know, I don't know that we can see a clear path forward in Libya or next door Tunisia, where they had an election on Sunday, or Egypt as well. But there's no doubt that among those who were opposed to Mubarak in Egypt, Ben Ali in Tunisia, Gaddafi in Libya, were elements of radical Islamicists. There were also elements that were pro-democratic. And the question now, in this kind of jump ball environment that we have in all those countries, is who will succeed. I think that a lot of Westerners have been taken in by a smooth PR operation by some of the radicals, who were smart enough to learn that you don't sort of go in the face of Western concern about radical Islam. You downplay it. Reminds me of those Western reporters who, in China, during the civil war between the communists and the nationalists, went to see Mao Zedong and said, he's not a communist, he's just an agrarian reformer. Inexperienced people don't understand what they're looking at, come out and say all these Islamicists are moderates. Some are, but not all of them are, and that's what the danger is, that the radicals will prevail.
Is there a way right now to effectively shepherd these countries to a position that is most favorable for our national security interests? And if so, how do we do it?
Well, I think there are things that we can do. How successful, I don't know, but I think they're worth trying. The first thing I'd say is we should not be pushing these countries toward quick elections. You know, democracy is a lot more than just holding elections and counting votes. It's a way of life. It's a psychology. It's a culture. And in all of these authoritarian ruled countries, they haven't had experience with real freedom of the press, freedom of association. You know, freedom of religion and freedom of conscience really go together. And we can see already in Egypt, where the Coptic Christians are very afraid of what's going to happen post-Mubarak. So I think giving time for a free press to develop, allowing the non-Islamicists who are not well-organized to give them a chance to form political parties, form civic associations, allow that kind of culture at least to have a few green shoots, rather than move to quick elections, which will be dominated by the people who are organized, who are primarily the Islamicists. Now, I think the U.S. can help in development of parties. We have long experience doing that. I think we can foster a free press. I don't think that's going to cost us much money, frankly. I think it's in our interest to do that. That's the sort of thing I would be looking at.
Now, Mr. Ambassador, this administration has said in response to the developments in Libya that it's okay with Sharia law being implemented there so long as basic human rights are respected. And the general attitude, general policy seems to be that if they go down a Sharia-type path and so forth, that it's not something we would choose, but it's important that these people determine their own destiny. From a national security perspective, an American national security perspective, is that the right policy to hold?
Well, you know, there's Sharia and there's Sharia. Part of this, part of the problem with the general discussion in the United States is that we're not really fully understanding what we're talking about. I think the U.S. policy should be to secure American national interest, and that's why I think it was a mistake to assume that simply being opposed to an authoritarian government meant that the opposition was committed to real democracy. I don't think that's necessarily the case at all. And I don't think we have to accept the outcome, even of free and fair elections, if the outcome is hostile to our national interest. When Hamas won elections among the Palestinians, that didn't mean we had to deal with Hamas. It was a terrorist group before the elections, and it's a terrorist group after the elections. So I think we have to judge outcomes not simply by whether they're the result of potentially rigged elections or whether they're won by people who believe in one person, one vote, one time. Yeah, we have to look at it from the perspective of the United States.
Last question, sir, and obviously the full story is not yet written, but whether it's the president at his UN speech or others in the administration, have basically declared that what we've seen in the so-called Arab Spring is a good thing. At this point, can we describe it as a good thing, a bad thing, or still incomplete?
Yeah, I think the grade you'd have to give it is incomplete. I think there are some troubling signs, but I don't think the struggle is over yet. I don't think we ought to give up on it. But I think we've got to be realistic about this. We shouldn't be excessively pessimistic, but we can't put the rose-colored glasses on either.
Sir, a lot to still be determined, of course. Thank you very much for your insights. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks again for having me.
Absolutely. Former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton, now at the American Enterprise Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.